Me during worship, he said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, when we gather together, the purpose of it is to love on one another and to encourage one another. Amen. When we're worshiping, and I just started thinking about it, and I said, God says, you know, or I believe it was the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, David, let the people know that they don't come to church. Well, I'm going to change it a little bit, and I don't mean to change it, but it's the same thing. He said, they shouldn't come to church to get blessed. They should come to be a blessing. Amen. In other words, those who are saved don't come to church because it's part of the requirements of their salvation. They come because they are saved, and the result of it is that they become something that someone else needs.
Amen. Amen.
See, the whole idea and concept of church has to be transformed into the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are one, operating in unity and one accord, so that the power of God can be manifested. That's what we're called to do. We're called to work in unity. And part of this came about this morning as before service began. Nobody was here, just the worship team and so on. And I wasn't paying attention, but all of a sudden I saw Mike come out with a ladder and Wanda with him and point it up and had a light bulb. One of the lights was out. Well, compared to, you got all these other lights here, why should we care about one?
No. Come on.
See, I don't care how much light you got. If one of them is out, there's a missing. But here was the thing. See, here was the thing. I wasn't looking for it. Somebody else was looking for it. They saw it. See, we're responsible for one another.
Amen.
When your light is starting to fade or when it goes out, we are required to help you bring it back.
Yes, hallelujah.
How do we do that? By bringing your light to where the light has gone out.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So when you come in here, we don't want you to just come to church. Come on now. You are so much more than a person sitting in a chair. I got a call from someone this week, and they wanted to come, you know, they said, oh, we want to come to your church, and so on and so forth, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. My statement was, do you talk to your pastor? Are you where you belong? I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. I believe God places each part of the body where he needs it to be. And where they will, not only will they be important to the rest, but they will flourish. And great fruit will come out of it. When you're sitting in a place where God didn't put you, the ground isn't where you should be and you can't grow. You can sit in a church. And in our own mind, we think we're fine. Okay, I'm fine. Everything's fine. It isn't. If you're not growing, there's something wrong. You understand? If you're not growing, if you're not feeling the roots of your faith deep within the soil of God's goodness and grace and word, and you're not growing, you're missing something. Something, because there's the nourish comes out of the roots. And the roots are only where God plants it. No plant gets up and moves to its known, a different garden because it thinks it's a better place.
Come on.
You understand? It's important. It's critical in these last days. You not be deceived. You not be fooled by what's coming on around you. I don't care what other people say. Oh, look at over there. It's so much better. We can go over here. The worship is so much better. The word of God is so much. The fellowship. All my friends go there. No. Praise God. You can have your friends. You can have Jesus. What do you want? Sometimes it's a tough. Come on now. Sometimes a difficult decision to make. I'm not telling you to get you to come to church. If you're not coming because this is where God instructed you to come and pour out the blessing that he's blessed you with, then you're not going to get it anyways. It'll just be another day at church on a Sunday morning when I could be out. What did you say to me? You didn't even say that to them. He said, I had other plans. I had other plans, but I wasn't feeling good enough. Listen to this. I wasn't feeling good enough to go there. So I came to church. Don't you understand? God allows things in our lives to get us where He needs us to be.
That's right.
I'm not picking on her. She knows. I wanted to be part because she gave me that testimony. She told me up front where I was supposed to pray for her. Oh, I wasn't going to be here. I had other plans. But you got good plans. Amen. Look it. In these last days, we're going to need each other more and more and more. It's not just me. Look, they were praying, and these guys were getting healed before the service began. It wasn't anything to do with me. I sat in the back. I sat in the office. They were praying for each other.
Amen.
You don't need me. All you need is Jesus. And if you got Him, you want to be connected to where the rest of them got Him.
Yes.
Look, there's more. When I started walking with the Lord, when I got saved, dramatic things happened in my life. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't brought up in a religious home. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't all this stuff. There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of chaos, and a lot of pain, and a lot of suffering, a lot of tears, and a lot of stuff was going on in my life and Diane's life. But the very presence, I shared with you, I don't know, last week, or I shared it Wednesday night, whenever it was. One moment, it wasn't a word this time. One moment in the presence of Almighty God changed our lives completely.
Amen.
Our goal isn't to get you here, to get you into the presence. If we can infuse the presence of God in this place, don't worry. Just get Him close to here, because God will do the rest. Amen. It's God thing. It's a God thing. It's not a church thing. It's not trying to figure out how to get you from playing golf or doing something else or going fishing or doing this or doing that. It's not about that. Because if the Lord is in there, you will want to be where He is. So our goal is to get Him here, and He'll take care of the rest. Now, we got our responsibilities in that.
That's right.
So we did it, and we prayed and worship and prayer, and we got prayer coming, starting up next week. I'm going to bring you the message on prayer. We're getting our prayer books together. Wednesday nights, we're doing teachings on the Holy Spirit. We got books we're handing out this week on the teachings of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do whatever we know to do.
Amen.
Trust God for the rest.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
So I just want you to know that. We're not trying to get you here. We're trying to get you there. Amen. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see that happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's back up a little bit. What did we talk about last time? We talked about, hallelujah, talked about how to stay connected to God. Amen. Again, if you want it, you can get it on CD afterwards, or you can get it right off the internet. You can get the message right off there. Amen. Coming soon, we're going to have live streaming. We're going to have live streaming of our messages. So you'll be on the internet live streaming. So we're going to take pictures of you sleeping, if you're sleeping, or whatever.
That's
meditation. When I was up, we used to have men's group up in,
yes,
up in Lake George. Pastor Davis used to have it every year. We used to go up there. And being a pastor, they asked me, what did I want to be in charge of? Because everybody, Pastor Davis was in charge of taking a group up on the mountain. Pastor Wendell had baptisms of people going into the water. And they said, what do you want to be in charge of? I said, I'll be in charge of the meditation team. So when you see us laying back, we've got our eyes closed and we're relaxed, we're meditating. And I had a lot more people on my team than all the rest of them. I was blessed. So praise God. I agree with meditation team, brother, but not at this point. I think at this point we got to. Amen. Okay. Praise God. All right. What I thought of as I was doing this, how to stay connected to God, is God started giving us warnings in the scriptures on the things that are coming. For the believer. Not for the non-believer, but for the believer. So what I'm going to do is take you through a couple of scriptures, or maybe a few more than a couple, but on what God says about being connected. Now, in that, I want to bring you, first of all, some examples of people who thought they're all right. Do you remember the story about Peter? Go to Matthew 26 with me. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, yeah, go there. I'm going to go to another scripture. No, let's go there first, then I'll go back there. Yes, Lord. I'm waiting for God to tell me how to do this as we go along. I never know which way I'm going until, by the grace of God. Matthew 26. Do you remember this famous statement by Peter? We're going to start in verse 26, I believe. Oh, no, excuse me. Verse 31. Then Jesus is speaking to his disciples and his apostles. Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. So we know that you have the rest of the story. Jesus in the garden, they came to arrest him. And all of a sudden, what happened? When it was time for them to stand up, they ran like rats from a sinking ship. But in their own heart, in their own mind, they were sure there was nothing going to separate me from you, Jesus. And sometimes we can get to that place. We're so assured of, I'm saved. I know the word. I know. I pray. I go to church. I do all these right things. Look in 2 Corinthians 10 with me real quick. There's a warning there. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this message is not to cause people concern or get angry or praise God or any of that good stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. I want you in 1 Corinthians. Judy knows which one it is. She said, "You're in the wrong one." Hallelujah. You know this scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Amen? What are we saying? Don't be complacent. The Bible says that the elect are barely saved. Do not get complacent thinking because you go to church, because once in a while you talk to God, because you pray once in a while, because of all this stuff, or even if you do it every day consistently, don't become complacent. Paul even himself said, "I have not attained to this yet, but I press onward to the upward calling." To the upward. Yes. We are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. So we are righteous. We are holy because he is holy. We are holy. Yes, 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 true. But don't take it for granted. Don't live your life as if nothing can happen to me. I know. I watched others. I can't tell you how many people. When, you know, this place used to be packed, overflowing. We had to put chairs out for them. Yep. And people would come up to me and say, "I'll never leave." And I said, "Uh-oh." Uh-oh. When they say they're never, means they're already thinking about it. You understand? And praise God, I'm not upset about it, but it's a truth. So what I'm saying to you is this. Don't become complacent. Don't become lazy. Don't become just, I said a few words 20 years ago, so I know that's enough to get me into heaven. Amen? And I pray that it is. I don't know God. I know him, but I don't know the degree of his love that'll keep you. I don't know that. People say to me, well, what can I do? I don't know. How far you can go backwards, how far you can fall, how far you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. I don't know. But as for me, when I sin, I repent quickly. I don't hang on to it. When I get into a place where I have hold on forgiveness against someone because they've done something, I immediately, almost, quickly, as soon as I can get past the anger and frustration and all the other junk,
come on.
Father, forgive them. Forgive them. I choose to forgive them. And I thank you for forgiving them. I'm not going to hang on to it. You understand? So there's things that God tells us to do. But I want to take you back. God has been speaking and spoke to us in the scriptures. There's about three or four different places I want to share with you. He said, what is it going to be like in the last days in the believer's life? You ready? Go into Revelation 2 with me. Because that's speaking of the last days. Now, many people believe when you get into Revelation that this part is still dealing with the church before the rapture. So it could be us. Amen? Hallelujah. Revelation, where am I? 2, verse 4 through 6. Nevertheless, let's back up. I'm going to go to 1. Verse 1. Chapter 2. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. We're talking about Jesus. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You notice, he says, I know your works. I've been watching. Amen. I know your works. Oh, you go to church. I know you don't like people who speak lies, and you get upset when you see all the bad things going on around you. I know your works. You're doing good things. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Boy, that sounds like the perfect Christian to me. Amen. Really, I'd love a whole bunch of people like that. They never grow weary in doing well. They're always looking for a way to help. My office door is banging. The phone keeps ringing off the hook. What can I do to help you? That would be wonderful. I'd call them the best church I've ever seen. Because I look with the eyes of the flesh. Like he did with David. He said, listen, you see him outwardly. I see the heart. God is searching the heart. Amen. So a pastor could be up front, looking good, dressing good, speaking good, got all the right things, but their heart is far from them. They could even be prospering. Their church could be overflowing with people and still not have a revelation of having a walk of love with God. It's full. The pulpits are full of them. I pray and I ask God almost every day, I won't say every day, Lord, let me have the heart of God. Let me have the passion of Jesus. Let me have the compassion. I don't take it for granted. I never have. And I hope and pray by the grace of God I never will. I wish I was perfect in all my ways. I wish I could say this is me. Oh, look at me. I've done all the perfect things. No. That's why every morning I wake up and I say, thank you, God. Your mercy is new today. I'm starting afresh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I speak the Lord's Prayer before I'm out of bed. Mm-hmm. I speak the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me of all unrighteous. I pray, Father, keep me from evil today.
Yes.
We're doing a battle. But listen what he goes on to say. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to do the first. Yeah, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He said, I've got this against you. He said, all these wonderful things, but you left the first love. You're not doing it out of love anymore. You're doing it out of religious activity. I'm not doing this because I love you. When you love someone, even though that other person isn't perfect, you love them because you love them, not for what they do or don't do. That's how God loves us. God loves us unconditionally. He loves us even in the midst of all our messes, all our sins, all our rejection, all our laziness, all our stuff. He still loves us. And that's what God wants you to do, is you keep your love for Jesus. Yeah, you haven't seen all the fullness of what God has for you. You haven't got everything you want. You don't do everything you'd like to do. But you know where your source of life comes from. And because of him, you are saved and redeemed. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he laid his life down for you even when you were in the worst part of your life. That's why you love him. And keep that love fresh. Tell him every day, Jesus, I love you. You don't have to have long prayers. You don't have all this stuff going on in your life. Lord Jesus, I love you. Then ask him, keep my love for you fresh. Let it be the first thought in my mind in the day and the last at night.
Hallelujah.
In the middle of the day, don't ever let me forget. You are my life. Amen? So keep your love for him fresh. If it isn't, repent. Ask God to change it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So first thing, let's look at the second thing. Go to Revelation 3. Okay, so first of all, love. You have replaced that first love with something else. Doesn't mean you don't love him, but he's not the first thing in your life. First person, I should say, not the first thing, the first person. Other places, people, things. Okay, Revelation 3. I'm going to start in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, right? These things says, Amen, and faithful and true witness. The beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Lukewarm. In other words, you can take it or leave it. You can take it or leave it. No zeal. No rush to him every day. No recognition that without you I can't do anything. You don't want to be lukewarm. Pray and ask the Father, Lord, blow afresh on that little ember that's in me. Because you haven't died. Maybe it's growing weak, that flame of passion, that flame of love and desire for him. If you're able to take him one time during the day and another time forget him, and it doesn't really bother you one way or the other. And I'm going to be honest with you, truthfully, if you love me. Because from the moment Diane and I experienced the presence of God that one Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, my passion for Jesus has grown. When I recognized that I was starting to lose something, it was driving me crazy to the point I didn't know what to do. I thought it was the end of everything, because without him, there is nothing else. I tell my wife all the time, I love her more than anything on this earth, but I love Jesus more than her. He's more important to me. Listen to me. I would never, by the grace of God, I will I will be gone before my beautiful wife. But if it was a choice between losing him and losing her, I know where she's going. I know the joy she'll have. But I know the depth of sorrow I'd have without him. I have no place else to go. I'm telling you that. It doesn't matter if I stand here in the pulpit. It doesn't matter if I'm a pastor. But without him, all I can see, and I'm going to tell you honestly, this is how I look at it. All I can see is darkness. Without him, there's no hope. Tomorrow, I wouldn't even want to get out of bed. I'd sit there and put the covers over my head and just lay there. I sit there at times, and I get to a point, I just say, there's nothing out there. Well, I enjoy this, and I have fun with this, and I'm happy. But I can miss all that. Would I like to do some of those things? Yes. I'm not adverse to having fun in this world. God gave us all things to enjoy down here. We should enjoy this life down here. But if he isn't part of it, it ain't worth it. You can have the whole world. But like he said, what profit is it if you lose your soul? In other words, what he's saying is, if the presence of God isn't in the midst of your riches, then you're poor indeed. Because he's the one that makes everything rich. He's the one that makes you worth something. He makes you feel like you're worth something. Other people around you, you can be the richest person in the world. Then you don't know who your friends are. Everybody wants what you got. Now look at everybody who gets they win the lottery. Almost all of them end up in despair and discouragement and afraid because they're all by themselves. If you think going out and spending all the money in the world is going to make you happy, it'll only make you happy for the moment. After that, it's done. You got to figure out something else to do. There's just so much stuff you can buy out of Walmart. I'm serious. Forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't put that Walmart in there. Or any place else for that matter. Without him as the center of my life, I have no life. In him, there is life forevermore. Nothing else matters. I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying that because if I'm not in the pulpit, I'd be saying the same thing. I'd be saying the same thing. That's what I try to explain to my children and stuff. This isn't just about going to church. It's about being the church and having the life that God promised you outside there as well as in here. And when you're out there and you're full of the joy of the Lord and all those things are seeing to happen, come to pass in your life, and the blessings of God, the comfort, the joy, the peace, the strength, all the things you're able to do, and you know how much? When you know that you have victory, you can do anything. When you know you're going to succeed, you can set your hands to anything. And the only way you have that knowledge is through Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because in him you can do all things. There isn't, failure isn't part of God's plan.
Right, come on.
It's only our plan. Without God, there's certain failure. That's what the world is trying to do now. That's what the United States is trying to do now. They're trying to find an overcoming spirit without God. And they're failing miserably. They're failing miserably. Because there's only misery without him. I'm just telling you. Okay. So don't grow lukewarm. Please, if you see yourself there, pray. Father, I need your passion. I need the zeal of the Lord. I need your fire again deep within my soul. Watch what God will do.
Amen.
Amen. So first of all, keep your first love. Number two, don't let it grow. Don't grow lukewarm. And number three, go into Matthew 24. It's not necessarily in these order. That's the way it came out. So that's the way I gave it to you. Hallelujah. Left your first love. Grew lukewarm. Matthew 24. Maybe that is... Oh, wow. I just saw that. Thank you, Lord. There's a progression here. Did you see it? Number one. You removed him from your first love. Once you remove him from your first love, you start to grow lukewarm. Watch this one. Matthew 24, verse 12 says this. Hallelujah. And because of lawlessness will, wait a minute, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You see the progression. Removed him from your first love. Then you started growing lukewarm. Then it turns to cold heart. Now you say, they're fools. There is no God. There's nothing in there. This is the part where you know they're growing lukewarm. They say, I can have God without church. That's like saying, I can walk without legs. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Let me say this to you. If this message is confusing, or this message is not important, you need to get saved. Because he's only speaking to believers in this message. You understand that? Not talking to the people who don't know. If I'm driving a car, and I know somebody who's a mechanic, and the mechanic says to me, Dave, there's something wrong with that car. I can hear it. I don't hear anything wrong. Yeah. Your ear isn't trained to see and hear what I know. And I ignore it? What does that make me? A fool. Because I reject the knowledge. In the Bible, God said a fool is one who rejects him. Amen. The knowledge that he brings. It's not that you're saying, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Yeah. But you don't receive what he has to say. If you don't receive what he has to say, you don't receive him. What I'm bringing you is written in the Bible. Inspired word of God. Not my words. So when we bring this, and God says, listen, and trust me, I'm going to bring you something next week, if God allows it. And next week, it'll blow you away when you see it. I want you to know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. You understand that? In other words, what was, will be, and what will be, was before. I am going to show you exactly where the United States and what's going on in the United States and what happens in the scriptures. I mean, it'll blow you away. It'll blow you away. But know this. What we believe and what we've been doing and what we've been praying and what we were saying and what we're setting up. God says, I'm not done with it. I'm not done with the United States. God still loves us. Amen. Amen. God loves you even when you mess up.
Amen.
God loves sinners. He loves the backslidden. Mm-hmm. Amen. He loves them.
Amen.
But he doesn't like always what they do.
Yep.
Amen. And because God loves them, he wants to bring them back. And he's trying to show them. And he says, okay, when they were out in the desert, what did they want? They were being fed by manna. That was food from heaven. Every morning you go down and get a fresh batch for that day. But the people complained. It wasn't enough. They wanted more. Having their needs met wasn't sufficient for them. They wanted more. They wanted flesh. They wanted meat. Yeah, that's good. It tastes. It fills me up and everything. But I want more. I don't have enough. Don't ever go there. Amen. Be content where you're at. Praise him for all the things that you've got. Praise him, thank him. I'll get into the rest of the message. But because the people weren't satisfied and content, they fell into sin. Amen. Sin separates you from the blessings of God. Hallelujah. We're going to deal with that next week anyways. Okay. Oh, now you won't show up. Now you won't. So what did he say? First of all, you leave your first love, you're going to start growing lukewarm, and you're going to end up with a cold heart. Wow. I didn't see that till I got to here. I said, I didn't remember what I said? I wasn't sure it's in order, but I guess God put it in order. Thank you, Lord. Now, one more. 2 Timothy Now, we know this is a perfect example, but this isn't what I'm talking about for next week. 2 Timothy 3. But know this. Well, I'm sorry, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, selfies, right?
Yep.
Lovers of money. Money is the big thing. This supposedly this election is about the economy, money, money, money. Okay, let me go on. I can spend all day here. Lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, proud, boasters, blasphemers, what'd they say? This is not a Christian nation. Disobedient to parents. I heard that. Well, he's also talking to us older people too. Amen. It doesn't change just because we get older. All right, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Come on, you got to know where we're living today. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's hard to go on because it's so apparent for anybody who has eyes to see and ears to hear. This, you hear it every day. If you're on the news reports, if you're on the TV or radio or wherever, you hear it. They're tearing each other apart out here. Every ethnic group against ethnic group. Everybody, even the churches, are fighting each other. That is, praise God. Hallelujah. Slanders without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. What's the power of godliness? To change us, to transform us from the image of what we were to the image of who He is. Amen? Let me go one more. Go into verse chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come, meaning who are they? The church, the believers. Listen to this. For the time will come. The other one can be the church, but it can be also the unsaved. Over here, hopefully more of the unsaved than the church, hopefully. But over here, he's talking to the believer. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's what's happening in the last day. I can preach to you, and you see it all the time. Grace, grace, grace. Prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Love, love, love. And that's it. And everybody, hey, I love it here. It's so wonderful. But the truth of the matter is, he said, unless you walk by the Spirit, you'll fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Unless we are in contact with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, we are subject to this flesh to overpower and create in us a false sense of godliness and holiness and righteousness. And we look to ourselves and we say, I'm fine. I don't have to be afraid of falling. I'm all right. God loves me. Look, if He didn't love me, I wouldn't have all this stuff. And yet we see where the devil tempted Jesus with all kinds of stuff. With the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Right.
He wants to move. Now, the good news is this. He said, don't lose the scripture, Lord. Don't, oh well, forget it. The Lord will bring it to me in a minute. Do not allow yourself to be deceived. He said, don't allow the wiles of the enemy to cause you to be turned from the direction he has you going. Don't be complacent. I think it's in Proverbs, I think it is, where he says, a little rest, putting your feet up, all of a sudden your garden starts getting filled with weeds. He's talking about the garden of the heart. Be watchful. Be alert. Don't just accept, well, God loves me, everything is fine. Yes, he does love you. Matter of fact, he loves everybody. Because he is love. Amen? But we're not talking about just being accepted by God. We're talking, because I am accepted by the Father, I will bring that acceptance to others so that they can also be blessed. That's the idea of this. And it's not just the ones we love. It's even our enemies. We want to bless them too. But we can't do that if we remove Jesus first. Yes, Lord. Here's what I believe he just said to me. He said, when you remove Jesus, you replace him with someone else. Who do you replace him with? Self. We put us up first. Father, we pray this morning in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, that have mercy upon your church. Have mercy upon this nation. We pray, Father God, you'd pour again your holy, gracious spirit upon us. That we can be overcomers, Father, as you called us to be. Not by our might, not by our strength, but by your love. Help us, Father, if we have turned away from our first love and replaced it with someone else. Help us, Father, if we've grown lukewarm and we've just accepted it. The world is the world, Father. We're in the world and we're part of that. No, Lord. You said we're in the world but not of the world. So we thank you, Father God, that you will blow afresh on us, that fire, that ember in us would become a mighty blazing fire of zeal and passion for your kingdom, for your glory. And Father, if we've grown cold and we have said that we don't desire to be part of this whole thing and we don't understand it and we just turned away and rejected it, Father, forgive us. We repent for that, Father. Ask your forgiveness. We thank you again, Father. In these last days, Father, we will be part of the glorious kingdom of the living God. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We'll take up our offering. Praise God.